If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
I want to move on to this now. The Portfolio Committee of Higher Education sat with the NSFAS board a few days ago, and this has been coming for a while, because we may appreciate the fact that the board about 2 months ago was onboarded, and I think they needed some time to settle in before the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education was able to sit down with them. You'll appreciate the fact that there's been many, many issues, and we just wanted to catch up with the board chair, I beg your pardon, the Portfolio Committee chair, because they then had a meeting with them to just maybe go through some of the issues that they would like to iron out ahead of an 18 June subsequent meeting that will also happen. So let me introduce to you Debogo Letsie, who's a chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education. Dr. Letsie, thank you so much again for talking to us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you, Primolo. Good evening to all Bomkaya, and thanks for having us.
Okay, the issue of NSFAS has been on our lips for a while, and we're obviously all tracking how far things are. I want to put myself in the shoes of a student who is in limbo, because we have, out of the 80,000 students who had appeals, 34,000 of those appeals have been looked at, and this was reported to you by 7th May, meaning we still have about 40% of students who don't know whether they're coming or going. And we are now sitting in May. These are some of the issues that you needed to deal with. What's the response that was given to you by NSFAS on that issue?
Well, thank you very much. So NSFAS, we asked them, out of all the appeals that would have been logged or lost by students, they had successfully resolved 34,000 or so. Meaning the NSFAS system would have said a student can be funded. And upon re-looking at the same application, the system comes back and says, hold on, we were wrong, you are now funded. So 34,000 is a huge number. It's not a small thing. And we made a case to them that because it's the 7th of May, let's assume that this successful appeals of this student were done on the 1st of May. So it would have meant that this student, one, may not have registered in this semester. Two, those who are lucky and were able to register, they will not have received any kind of assistance from NSFAS, be it in accommodation, be it in allowances. So the assumption should be that these students have not eaten anything from the beginning of the year till the appeals were done, even today, actually, because NSFAS will only then give them allowances at the end of the month. So we criticize that them on that thing, because it means NSFAS is not student-centric. It's not addressing issues that are affecting our students. It's a big problem. Some of the students, I mean, can you imagine, if you don't have anything to eat, there's no one at home to ask money for a loaf of bread, what do you do? And some of the students, if they are boys, some of them might have tried creative ways of getting food, probably been caught. Some of them might be in jail. Some of them have been shot. And if it's young girls, some of them might have given in to some guys who would have had money to give them something so that they can survive. So it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy a matter of, I have now resolved your matter, let's move on. It's not that easy. Somebody must take responsibility for putting these poor children in such situations.
And I think that issue was pressed upon when you look at the entire ecosystem and the chain itself, where many of the issues are not as a result of the non-compliance of the student. It is a student who gets caught up in the middle of the mess between the institution and NSFAS, and we are not yet able to account for how responsible we've been with handling the livelihoods of these students.
Yeah, I mean, today, as I'm speaking to you, I got WhatsApp message from a student that would have appealed and MFAS was not responding. They reached out to us. We submitted their information to MFAS. MFAS around 6 weeks ago said, you are funded, go to school, and nothing would have happened. Today, the student sent us a message that they went to school and the school tells them that MFAS says they are no longer funded. And when we try to inquire, they are saying it's because the institution did not submit registration data of this student by the 23rd of April. But who then suffers? Yeah, it's a student who has not done anything wrong. And I would have said to MFAS today, this can be. It can be that a student has done everything possible that they can do, and then you are punishing them for a miscommunication or lack of communication between yourself and an institution. Somebody must be held accountable. And we are going to have an interaction with the minister to find out what is it that her minister and the department are going to do to solve this problem, because it can happen, it can continue to happen, where a student who's right becomes the ultimate, loser in the process when they have got absolutely nothing to do with the communications between the parties that must communicate.
And you know, to what extent then are also the institutions themselves taking responsibility for the delay in submitting data of these students, which obviously makes it difficult for NSFAS to process these students?
Yeah, the institutions always get away with murder. They will tell you that, or they will tell the students that NSFAS has not given a funding list or funded list from themselves about who is funded and who's not. But when you then ask NSFAS, NSFAS says, we can't really fund that list because we don't know which student is registered where.
Mm.
So the reason why, about 2 years ago, National Treasury gave NSFAS money to update their ICT system so that they are able to talk to investors. So they, you know, you don't wait for somebody to send data. You can access that, you know, that data. National Treasury gave them about 119 million. Last week, you may have heard that they said about 13 million is left there. Mm. Yeah, and then, but the system is still not working. So where did they use that money? So what kind of a system that is still not addressing the core problem? So somebody must be held accountable, and we will be interacting with your minister to say, Minister, these people report to you directly. What have you done in making sure that these problems don't persist anymore moving forward? Because it's affecting the poorest of the poor. And those are the people that are representing some of us.
Let's talk about the issue of accommodation, which became a big issue after NSFAS issued a circular around the March 7th, sort of, around that time,
yes,
where they announced that there will be a cap of 25,000 rand per annum for this for accommodation for students. Now, the issue for me is interesting, because if a student had already signed a lease agreement,
yeah,
where there was, you know, commitment to pay X amount, which maybe exceeded 25,000 rand per annum to these providers, and yet then NSFAS comes around March and says, we will not be paying this beyond 25,000. Should we not have been more responsible in how this is handled? Because those leases still have to be paid, and we remember how the accommodation owners were up in arms about how they've treated unfairly. And I know NSFAS says, well, these are unvetted, or some of them were not vetted. But surely somebody should have done that work before those leases were signed.
Yeah, NSFAS was very reckless there. They've put the lives of students in danger. Because on the 7th of March, maybe let's put it into context. On the 7th of March, it's at the end of the first trimester on TVET colleges. So it means this student would have been on campus for 3 months, staying in accommodation, having signed this agreement to say to accommodation providers, even though it's unaccredited accommodation providers, it's NSFAS that put themselves in that position. When you do that on the 7th of March, you are saying the students will then owe that money. And when, remember, NSFAS is paying for those who can afford.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say that they are going to owe, where are they going to get this money? You are now creating a can of worms where these immoral accommodation providers will then take advantage of these young girls to say, I'm willing to look the other way on this man if you do X, Y, and Z. So you are creating that space for this immoral, not all of them are like that, but there are some who are immoral who then want to take advantage. Even at university, if you say, I'm not going to cap it at 27,000, and last year you paid 25,000 now, when last year you paid 37,000, you're saying there will be 12,000 difference, where a student will now be forced not to get their degree or their certificates at an institution because they must now look for this 12,000. I don't know where do they want. And we told them that it is reckless. NSFAS can't wake up in the middle of the night and make such a decision. It's a reckless decision. They must go and relook at it. They did promise to go that they will go and relook at it. We're happy to report that because it was raised with us when we're on oversight in Free State. University of Free State then appealed this decision, and we were told that the appeal was successful, and therefore they will scrap this 25,000 cap that they created just in the middle of it. Does not make sense. Again, it's part of what we'll be discussing with the minister. The minister, you have appointed the board there. Your board is beginning to make reckless decisions that affect the poorest of the poor, and we can't take it, and unfortunately will not stand by and watch NSFAS create such a mess for our children.
Now, the issue of, I just want to go back to 2024, around April, around about this time, where the Minister of Higher Education, Blade Nzimande, appointed an administrator for NSFAS. And we are now here where that report is not forthcoming. Issues around the fact that, well, you know, the administrator did not complete their term. Just maybe clarify that for us, please, Honorable Lizzie.
Yeah, so former Minister Dr. Blade appointed an administrator to fix the problems at NSFAS. And then when he did so, there was what we call terms of reference of the appointment of the administrator. Mm-hmm. Amongst, because there are many, I think there are about 12 terms of reference that were put there. But if you look at number 10 on the terms of reference, it says that the administrator will report to the Minister of Higher Education and Training or head delegated officials. Mm-hmm. Besides other form of communication and interaction with the Minister and the Department of Higher Education and Training, the administrator must submit a written report every 3 months on the progress regarding the above issues, which is the other terms of reference. So when we met with NSFAS last week Wednesday, they said to us, the department, actually the DDG, said to us, the administrator has not submitted the handover report. We put it to them that is very strange, because the terms of reference has got absolutely nothing with the handover report. It has everything to do with quarterly report. And therefore, on that day when he left in February, he should have sent the third quarterly report at the end of January. So has the administrator submitted all these quarterly reports, and what has the minister and the department done to, you know, question, to interact with those reports, to say, administrator, in your July report, this is what you are raising. How do we make sure X, Y, and Z is put in place for the 2025 academic year? In your October quarterly report, this is what is there. In the end of January quarterly report. So we put it to them that somebody must be held accountable. If the administrator did not submit this quarterly report, what did the ministry and the department do? Make sure that because that was part of you know, his assessment. So if he did not submit, what did they do? And if he has submitted, what were the issues that he raised in those things? So somebody here, and we put it to the department that we don't think you're telling us the truth, but we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. If he has submitted, go and tell us what did he raise, and how did you as the department and the ministry interact with those reports. because you can't come here and say you'll take him to court, use resources in a court of law, only to find that he can simply go there and say, I did not have on my terms of reference anything that says I must do a handover report. And then your case is struck off the roll, you've lost money for the state, and instead of holding somebody accountable who are supposed to do this thing. So we are going to interact, like I said, with the ministry on this matter of NSFAS, because the new board comes in now, they must start things afresh. For what? When there should have been reports to say to them, this is how far we've moved, these are the challenges, these are the low-hanging fruits that you can do, this is what you must avoid. That happened last year, like defunding of students in the middle of the year. This year they are doing it again. They've defunded students, which is something that would have been raised last year, which is something that should be in the one of the quarterly reports of the administration. If somebody did not read it, they've now crossed these students and this university's budget and their own year that they would have attended school.
So you are meeting on the 18th of June, and this is with everybody else. Will the department also be there? Will the NSFAS board be there?
The department must be there. The ministry must be there. NSFAS must be there. So we are going to interact with them. And I said to them, we will also look into bringing in the solution partners to bring in the accommodation provider, so that it's a holistic thing. So we don't cover one part and after the meeting, the accommodation providers write to us and say, no, NSFAS was lying on point 1, 2, 3, 4, or we meet with the accommodation providers and NSFAS comes and says they lied on 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'm going to bring everybody so that when somebody tries to mislead us on the spot, the other ones can defend themselves. But the point is to get the bottom of this madness that you see, where everybody seems not to know what they're doing. So I want to bring all of them together, get to the bottom of the problem, solve the problem so that the end user, which is this poor student, is able to enjoy their stay at university. We want to see many of them who, when they graduate, they have the placard saying, thank you, NSFAS, but they can't now. Because NSFAS makes their lives very difficult on campus.
What a mess. I really appreciate you giving us your time. That's Honourable Debo Holitsia there, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.